Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
A little over a week ago, our former president, President Trump, survived an attempted assassination on his life. I know everyone in here by now realizes that. So he lived, but Corey died. Corey, Compitore, was immediately behind in the stands as others were. There were several that were injured, but Corey, who was 50 years old, he attended church on a regular basis. He had two daughters. His person of preference was Trump, so he wanted to support him there in the rally. He was a volunteer fire chief at one time, an engineer. And just from all reports, a great guy. He didn't want a lot of attention. He evidently was soft-spoken and easygoing. And one of his daughters, because of the way he died, he shielded his family when he heard the shots go off. He did what was natural for him as a protector of his family. And one of his daughters described him this way, that in her mind, he was a real life superhero. So many people at times like this might say, where was God? I mean, we're grateful that former president, any president, wasn't killed. But here was a man who had a lot of years left and had his family, and he was innocent and had lived a good life. Where was God? In other words, our hot topic this morning is evil and suffering. How do we reconcile a loving good God with the evil and suffering that goes on in our world? If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 15 in a moment. I will read that passage, and in the outline that you should have in your worship guide, there'll be other texts that I'll refer to and even read throughout the message. My study this week, I was reminded of a book by Erwin Lutzer, and some of you have done study on this subject before. You probably have books or articles or read magazines. And there was one by Erwin Lutzer years ago called Where Was God? And in his book, he deals with natural disasters. So another way of looking at this is a family could be in their home at night and a tornado comes by and wipes them all out. And so Dr. Lutzer's saying, where was God in that? There's different ways of determining the question of how do you reconcile the two. Why do innocent suffer? Why does God allow bad to happen to a good person? Why would a person that is 60, who's living a good life, his children are young adults, die of cancer, and yet a dictator who's evil and hurting people would continue to live? Well, skeptics call this the Achilles heel of Christianity. In other words, Epicurus, who lived 300 years before Christ, laid out a classical argument. He said three things. God is all-powerful. God is all good. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good. And number three, evil and suffering exists. Now, skeptics don't believe the three can exist at the same time. In other words, they don't believe those three can coincide. But my prayer and hope today is that we'll be reminded that according to God's will, they can. And by God's grace, we're going to attempt to try to understand this. The Bible says he's not slow in keeping his promises. He's wanting everyone to come to repentance. The Bible says that we're to be prepared to share the hope that is within us with meekness and fear. And so perhaps we'll be better armed and equipped when someone that you go to school with or at work, or maybe even this last week around the table, one of your children said, "Daddy, Mr. Corey was just there and he got shot and he didn't live. How does that work with a loving God?" So prayerfully, this will help us today. That's my hope. So Solomon, wisest man that ever lived besides Jesus, he prayed for that. He desired that. He started out strong, one of David's sons, to take over the kingdom at some point. Over time, he began to spiral down because of choices. You see, God allows us to have choices. He gives us a free will. People make choices. Choices make people. And so the latter part of his life, because he had indulged in great pleasure. I've shared with you before, I had a pastor once that said, if there was an 11th commandment, it would be, "Thou shalt be balanced." God wants us to have fun and enjoy life. But there's also another part of life. There's the part of life where we raise our family in the nurture and admonition of God. We sense God's call on our life and we try to follow it the best we can and use it as a platform for ministry. There's so many parts of life, the physical, the spiritual, the emotional, all those different parts of life. And Solomon just lost control in that he indulged in pleasure. And so the latter part of his life and some of his writings, you almost sense a little sarcasm, a little skepticism, and just talking to God and saying, "Why even live the life? Life is meaningless and useless." If there's ever a time that you wonder if you can be honest with God, just look at Solomon and his writings. Look at David and his writings. It is okay when we're alone with God just to cry out, ask our questions, say life isn't fair, talk to him. He wants an intimate relationship with his children. And we come to God through Christ. And we grow and mature until we get to heaven. Talk with God. We see this. Can I ask questions? Yes. Solomon's asking the questions about what we're dealing with today and other questions in his life quite often. And so here we find, and I want to share with you what Warren Wiersbe says about this. Pleasure alone can never bring satisfaction. Remember, he started spiraling down because it was all about pleasure. It appeals to only part of the person and ignores the total being. So here's what the text, as a springboard for our passage today, our message today is this. In Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 15, it says, "In this meaningless life of mine, I have seen both of these." You see how he's sharing at this point where he's not at a good place. He's in a dark place, and yet he's talking to God. That's always a good thing, that we continue to talk to God, even when we might be in a bad place or a dark place. He's talking to God, and he points out, basically what he's going to say is, how can a good, righteous man die or be punished and a wicked man live and seem to have everything going for him? This is what it says. The righteous, I've seen both of these, the righteous perishing in their righteousness and the wicked living long in their wickedness. Five truths. Here we go. The first one is this. God did not originate evil. We go back to Genesis and we see a perfect world. God created everything good. It depicts a world free from sin and suffering. And by the way, and I'm getting ahead of my sermon a little bit, one day when we get to heaven, there'll be no more temptation, there'll be no more sin, there'll be no more suffering, there'll be no more disease, there'll be no more conflict. I don't know about you, but I can't wait for that day. One day is coming when we all get to heaven. Do you ever sing that song? Sometimes I just sing it. When we all get to heaven, what a glorious day that will be. Sin entered the world through Adam. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Evil thus entered the world because of sin. Romans 5, 12 calls it the fall of man. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The world became abnormal at that point. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Just as Adam, we also have rebelled. Romans 3, 23. All you have to do is spend time with an infant or a child, and you will see a sin nature. As precious as they are. Oh, and grandchildren are certainly precious. But AJ sins. Kelly says, no, she doesn't. Yes, our granddaughter does, and our grandson does. Here's what one theologian said. Listen closely. Evil is actually not a thing, but a corruption of a good thing. God's creation was originally pronounced good. God created man, therefore, there's a possibility of evil, but man created the actuality due to choice. Evil was possible. And here's why. Number two, evil is necessary for a free world. Free choice gives a possibility to do a wrong choice. God did not make us robots. More about that in a little bit. He wanted a relationship with us. He didn't create robots so he could control us and say, now go this way, now go that way, now give me a high five, now come hug me. No, 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 no. He gave us a free choice so we could have true love, as chosen love, a relationship. Just as courage is only possible where there is true danger, love is only possible where there is true freedom. Another scholar said this, though in this imperfect world the innocent do suffer, God thought it worth the risk to allow suffering and to allow freedom. Number three, there's an important reason God hesitates to stop evil. Because sometimes we'll think, God, hadn't you seen enough? There was Sodom and Gomorrah. Hadn't we gotten at least that bad? Well, it was pretty bad. It just seems that things continue to spiral down. I watch the news, I get discouraged. I look at the future and I get discouraged. I think about my grandchildren. I think about my neighbors. I think about the person that doesn't know. God, when? Isn't it time? Come quickly, Lord, come quickly. But there's a reason he hesitates to stop evil, and sometimes we all need to be reminded of it. Just as parents allow kids to make mistakes and suffer. And that's hard. As parents, it's hard to see your child go to school or kindergarten or preschool and have their feelings hurt, or maybe somebody bit them. And you think, I want to go bite the other child or their parent. It's hard to allow your kids to grow up and see the things they deal with. God allows mistakes to achieve a higher goal in His children and us when we have a relationship with Him. In truth, God cannot destroy evil without destroying freedom. Sometimes, don't you want to see Him just zap somebody? Zapping evil people would not solve the problem, though. Look at Noah. He left potential evil behind in the survivors. The cause of Christ is to destroy sufferings. He won the victory on the cross. God will end the revolt at the return. 2 Peter 3:9. Once again, God is not slow in keeping His promises as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That is why He continued to be so gracious and merciful, because He doesn't want anybody to experience hell and suffering forever. It's the gospel. It's the good news. Number four, not all suffering is bad. To dig deeper into the subject, consider reading C.S. Lewis' classic work, The Problem of Pain. And what he's saying, or what it deals with in essence, is that pain can be used for good or bad purposes. Pain can be a warning signal that something is dangerous. Some of you in the audience today or listening by the radio or Facebook have had pain. Maybe it was in your arm. Maybe it was in your ankle or your leg. Or you continue to have headaches and it caused you to go to the doctor and you found out what the problem was. And for some, it was a deadly disease. It can be used for good. Maybe if Trump didn't have the pain of his ear being shot, he wouldn't have ducked. And maybe he'd have been killed. Pain can also be a spiritual signal. C.S. Lewis said in his book, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts to us in our pains. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And so often certain amounts of pain, sometimes because we bring it on by our bad choices, can lead to brokenness because of pride in our life. Or God's wanting us to go to another level with Him, and we allow Him to do His great works, which can be painful, in order to be broken before Him and say, oh God, help me. Help me. The Bible says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Jesus suffered and it led to our victory. Victory. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We can point to His suffering in defense of Christianity. I mean, He was perfect. He didn't deserve all that. But He did that for you and for me and for lost. We can point to Jesus' suffering in defense of Christianity. Believers know that suffering can be used by God. Now, if you have your copy of God's Word, I want you to flip over to the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 8. If not, you can just listen. It's chapter 8, beginning with verse 14 and going through verse 18. And this is a reminder of how God can use bad situations for good. He's sovereign, Romans 8, 28. So not all suffering is bad. This is what it says. Romans 8, beginning with verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And then listen to this. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. And verse 18, it says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Before moving on to the next point, I want to give you a definition of hedonism because it's rampant in our world. Hedonism believes all suffering is bad. It's a false philosophy that you'll hear in the classroom, especially in college. You'll hear on the news. You'll hear from friends from time to time. It's not true. Perhaps instead of questioning God's justice, we should give thanks for His mercy. There will never be a perfect world on this side of heaven. And I think sometimes we forget that. We can think, man, I'm going through a good season. I'm almost afraid to say it, Lord. I'm sure thankful. Maybe we can possibly say in our mind, all that other stuff I went through is over. Yikes. Not on this side of heaven. We're either going into the storm or the storm coming out. Now, there's different levels. Different types of pain and suffering and conflict hurts or hurt more than others, or what may hurt me more might be different than what might hurt you more. But on this side of heaven, we have to learn to be content in our relationship with Christ and allow those things that come to us because of our choices or other choices that affect us from other people to be used for good by God's grace. And number five, God has a solution. So we're walking through this. Number one, God did not originate evil. Evil is necessary for a free world. There's an important reason God hesitates to stop evil. Not all suffering is bad. And then number five, God has a solution, and the solution is Jesus. There is no other solution. A relationship with Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about religion here. I'm talking about a relationship. Apostle Paul was very religious. And then he met Jesus. And his desire was that I might know Him. Which included the sufferings. Evil is temporary. One atheist wrote, "The gates of hell are locked from the inside by the free choice of men. Hell is the worst place of all for eternal suffering. All who reject Christ will ultimately be cast into the lake of fire." Revelation 20:15. The very fact that evil exists is so that we can make a choice to not experience evil and suffering forever. For once we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, because of His finished work and not our good works, according to John 10:10, we have abundant life. And according to John 3:16, we have eternal life and other passages. About that robot in this bag, I have a little robot. It's a dog robot. And if I had batteries that worked, I would show you, because I've done it before, that what you do is the operator, you just make this dog go backwards and forwards, and he can raise his hand, and he can go up like this, like a horse, and I control him. I absolutely control that robotic dog. Ain't nobody else control him. He doesn't control himself. The operator controls him. Now I'm going to tell you this. And you can tell because I let the batteries die. We don't have much of a relationship. But you give me a dog. Maybe a dog like Woodrow. Or some of your dogs that I met a few weeks ago. Man, it's all the difference in the world. God loves us. He didn't have to create us, but He did. And with that, He gives us a free will. And thank the Lord, we're not robots. We can have a relationship. And He wants that with you if you've never put your faith and trust in Christ. I can't think of a better day than today. You come and talk to somebody and just say, I need Jesus. I want to close with a statement and a prayer. I wrote this down. If the enemy, Satan, can cause us to focus on the problem of evil, he can distract us from sharing the good news that can keep others from experiencing pain and evil forever. Lord, please help us. Help us, God, as your children, not to get distracted, not just because of this particular issue or hot topic or problem, but by other things in life. Give us balance. Help us to enjoy life, to have it abundantly, to enjoy our freedom. But God, to make godly choices based on the guidelines and boundaries you provide in your word. Not because you don't want us to have fun, but because you protect us and you love us. We thank you for the times you discipline us. And you allow us to learn from our bad choices or the choices of others that we're close to. God, continue to mold and shape us into your image. Lord, we pray for Corey's family. We thank you that from all indications, he is with you. Bless his wife, his girls. Help the others that were injured to heal. And God, we pray for those in our own community and our own family. Sometimes, Lord, it just seems like there's a lot going on in our own church, in our own world. So God, help us all to reach out and pray and love on people and do what we can to encourage them during their pain. I pray, Lord, as we approach this invitation, that we'll listen to your voice and only obey it. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand for our invitation. You respond as God leads.